Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and today I'm at Ruthie's Hotel Terrace Restaurant in Millinocket, Maine. And I'm here with Blaine Richardson, who is running for Congress. You're running against
Mike Michoud.
Well, that's a good place to start. How are you, Blaine?
Elegant.
So tell me, why would I rather vote for you than Mike?
Well, I'm pretty emotionally involved in this. I would say four or five, well, actually it probably started about 2.5, 3 years ago, watching the general direction our government was going in. I'll get right to of late. What really pushed me to take papers and move ahead was the NDAA legislation that Congress put forth and the President signed. It really changed the scope of things in this country. It gives the President the authority to send the military out, delegate the U.S. Armed Services to detain without warrant and to hold indefinitely U.S. citizens within the border. And it's incredibly unconstitutional. I'm a 30-year Navy veteran, Navy captain, and disabled vet along with that, and I can tell you it's an unlawful order. If I was on active duty and I was directed to go out and seize one of our citizens within the border, I'd have to resign my commission. It's an unlawful order. And if you're a student of history, this same situation really existed in Germany before it was Nazi Germany, and ultimately, it benefited Hitler, and it gave him the ability to depose and get rid of his opposition. But it also, you can see it manifesting itself in Syria, Egypt, where the military is actually firing, killing, oppressing the very civilians that it was set up to protect. So, having said that, you know, I took my papers out and have been pursuing this pretty vigorously. I've spoke with people now at five caucuses. I've been very well received. I don't need notes. I don't need a teleprompter. I'm speaking right from my heart. As I said, I spent 30 years in the profession of arms for this country, and served during the Vietnam War, Persian Gulf War, Haiti, and this war. And I love my country. I'm a proven leader. I'm a pro-life individual. Life starts at conception and a discussion. It starts at conception. I want term limits. I am tired of iconic people in Washington, individuals that get down and homestead. You know, I don't know of anyone that has the monopoly on good ideas. I think three terms for the House, two terms for the Senate is more than adequate. And I'm really flabbergasted that the Congress has to actually pass legislation to not illegally trade in the stock market. I mean, you think when you're down there and you raise your hand and you take the oath, you know, to uphold the Constitution, that you would know enough to also conduct yourself ethically and legally. You know, we have individuals here in the state of Maine that have become multi-millionaires down there, and it wasn't on the salary that they received, you know, from their citizens. And that's where I'm going. You know, my family is a founding family of Maine. I love this state. I came back home in 1979. I financially don't need this job. I have a Navy pension, but I feel myself calling to do additional duty to get our country back for all of us. My ego isn't in this. It's going to take all of us Maine citizens in the 2nd District to do this. It isn't going to happen overnight. We're really going to have to be stubborn, as Joshua Chamberlain said. You know, this will take 5, this may take 10 years, but we have to keep putting people down in Washington that have their eyes on the Constitution.
When you come home, will you show up?
That when they look back over their shoulder, they're looking at their citizens and carrying out the wishes of their citizens. I feel this, you know, very strongly. And I've worked in the woods. I've fished commercially. With my Navy background, the things that are important here industrially in Maine, Bath Iron Works, Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, Loring Air Force Base. I don't need to get spun up on that or brought up to date. I mean, it's just a part of my normal growth as a naval officer. And so to be able to serve those industries is no problem. But I also understand, you know, the effect that the federal government has had on our foresters, you know, and the paper industry, and the federal regulations, you know, with our commercial fishermen. I'm still looking for that fisherman that's caught a right whale. I mean, I worked as a stern man, you know, way back in the late 50s, and I never heard anybody catching a whale. But yet it cost our industry millions of dollars. And in fact, Maine lobstermen are probably some of the most responsible people in the fishing industry. You know, we started doing conservation measures decades ago, V-notching and throwing back buried lobsters. And it's time we as people take back our country and roll back regulation and get the federal government out of our backyard, get them out of our schools, get them out of our energy policies, and I'm the person that can do that. I'm a proven leader. My time in the service, my record is flawless and unblemished. I'm ready to take on Washington, D.C. We already have individuals down there that went down in the last midterm election, and they're waiting for more of us. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to serve my fellow Mainers.
Could I ask you how you feel about the Patriot Act?
Patriot Act, I have a real problem with. what's been happening, you know, at the federal level, we've been slowly losing our God-given rights, and those rights are delineated in the Declaration of Independence and enumerated in the Constitution, and we lose these rights, you know, literally one page at a time. The Patriot Act, TSA, it's a total invasion of your personal privacy and your right to move about the country uninhibited. But it's worse than just the Patriot Act. The Wetlands Act from the EPA, Wetlands Act of 1989, was the first assault on public property. And then on top of that, the Endangered Species Act. Now, I'm not advocating doing in endangered species. We have to be responsible with our activities on the planet to keep all our other creatures, you know, prospering along with us. But particularly here in Maine, that 89 Wetlands Act was taken by the DEP, and the DEP has run with it and has put in place policies that have affected literally every landowner in Maine. You don't own your land anymore. They'll tell you what you can do with your land, and that's an absolute taking and a violation of the Constitution. So we need to roll that back. It really disturbs me. And the other thing that goes right hand in hand with that is the conservation easements and land trusts. You know, Maine is a beautiful state, and it's the largest wilderness east of the Mississippi. We don't need to be taking land out of the tax base where the other homeowners and whatnot have to pick up the freight when these conservation easements, if something happens on that property, get the same services that you would get on your farm, except they don't have to pay for it. And the problem, it sounds like we're taking care of, you know, apple pie, motherhood, and the planet Earth. But really what we're doing is driving people off their land. As more and more of these conservation easements show up in a particular town, the more the tax burden falls on a fewer and decreasing population. You know, there's a real move underway to depopulate the state of Maine, and if not that, to frustrate individuals from, you know, property ownership. And that right of property ownership is guaranteed, you know, through the Declaration of Independence and enumerated again by the Constitution.
I probably don't have to ask you this, but I will anyway. What do you think about a federal park in northern Maine?
I'm absolutely against it. I mean, to me, the whole state of Maine is a park. You know, people don't post their land, and you're welcome to walk on unposted land. Leave it the same way you found it. Trying to tell these people in central Maine, northern Maine, wherever in Maine, that you're no longer able to, you know, make it a working forest or utilize the land, you know, is absolutely crazy. You're taking away resources from our paper mills, and you know, and Maine makes some of the most unique papers in the world. And you know, since I've been back since '79, I've been watching mills close, woolen mills close, shoe factories close, leather industries close. We only have one tannery left. You know, where does it stop? You know, where does it stop?
Could you tell me your take on the, I don't know how to phrase it, because it's so different depending on who you're talking to, the contraception rider in Obamacare?
You know, I almost have to laugh. But, you know, being a Haight-Ashbury baby, you know, I got out of high school in 1972 and got out of college in 70, excuse me, I got out of high school in 68 and out of college in 72. And I've raised two children. They're young adults now. There is no lack of contraception in this country. None at all. I mean, it is available everywhere. And I don't understand why the public at large needs to provide it for anyone. I mean, it's in the restrooms, it's in the drug stores, it's in the Irving stores, it's everywhere. So actually, I just see this as a covert way of, you know, attacking the First Amendment and freedom of religion in the state of Maine. And more than that, the United States. I think we all need to become Catholics, because they pick off the Catholic Church, they're coming after yours next. And then what are they coming after? You know, we already know through the FCC they want to limit, you know, our voice, and it's just got to stop. I mean, we have to start holding these people accountable for unconstitutional behavior, and there's no one or no mechanism right now to stop this, in my view, treasonous behavior. And it's not just limited to the president. Congress, with this NDAA, all but six people voted for that legislation, and it's clearly unconstitutional. And they did this with their eyes wide open. You know, Olympia Snowe, Susan Collins, Shelley Pingree, and Mike Mishu. Shame on them. Shame on them. And it's time we start holding these people accountable for their behavior. This isn't liberal behavior or conservative behavior. It's un-American behavior. The Constitution is the foundation of this country, and it's absolutely un-American. If these people were doing this stuff back when our forefathers were around, I'm here to tell you that they would be in deep trouble.
What do you think about undeclared wars and the things like the idea that we should arm the Syrian rebels? What do you make of that?
Well, you know, having got out of the Navy alive after 30 years, and I was a naval aviator, and we have to pick very carefully where we're going to commit our young people. And I say that now at the age of 60, but when I went into the Navy, I was 24. And I didn't give it too much thought. When you're 24, you think you're all grown up. And the guys, the enlisted people that were coming in underneath me were 18. Well, I can tell you as a father of two grown children, when we go to war, we fight our children. We fight our youth. And I can tell you that they're priceless. So wherever we're going has to be so vital to this country that we're willing to invest our children. That's all I can say. It has to be absolutely vital, and there needs to be a discussion. These endless drawn-out wars we can't do anymore. And Vietnam, I served during Vietnam. We lost 58,000 of my peers, and that's where we started coming up with rules of engagement, which means basically going into a fist fight with one of your arms tied behind your back. If we're going to dedicate our troops on anybody else's soil for our own behalf, we need to go in there with both hands out, with total resolve to totally destroy and bring to their knees whoever it is we're going against. Going in halfway, all we do is put people in the ground, and then we're there to fight these same people 10 years later. I really don't understand what's happened, but war is ugly, it's horrible, and you have to fight it to the end. And so I guess in a nutshell, we really have to have a debate before we put ourselves out there on the world front.
Let me ask you, because this is directly probably affecting your office or the office you're running for. If the president were to, if it were Libya all over again, where the president is asked to bring to Congress to get the declaration of war, and he said, well, there's no American troops over there. As a congressman, what would you do in a position like that? Are you okay with that? Would you insist?
I'm not okay with it. And I look at our congressional leaders here in Maine, and they sit on their hands, but then they come back home and sort of mamby-pamby why they can't do this or can't do that. You need to stand up and be counted. And I'm still not quite sure what our vital interests were in Libya. We have NATO over there, and we are members of NATO. But, America can't take care of everybody. We defend Europe. We defend Japan. We defend Korea. And, We have to look at our own interests and really measure them. But if you have to go out unilaterally and take action the way Obama did in Libya, then your argument was weak. If he had a strong argument, he would have been able to get a declaration of war or whatever prescription he needed from Congress, to justify America's participation there.
Okay, is there anything else that you think that my listeners should know?
There's nowhere else on earth like Maine.
Okay.
And I'm here to tell you, when I get down, my focus is going to be here. I'm not going down there for the cocktail parties and the Washington life. I am not an insider. To me, a great day is walking through the woods, picking blueberries, working my fruit trees, or meeting just Mainers and finding out what's bothering them. My job down in Washington is to ring bells, argue on your behalf, vote on your behalf, and the only way I can do that is if I spend the rest of the time up here being available to you to understand your concerns directly.
Thank you. Okay, so I understand that you still need some signatures on your petitions.
Well, we're doing really well. Soft count, we're over 1,000. We'll probably have the certified 1,000 count, God willing, this Friday. and we still have 2 weeks. That doesn't mean we're not going to keep collecting them, because it's, you know, it's looking people in the eyes and asking them what's bothering them. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, the people that I've, you know, come in contact with are as fed up as I am. We want our country back. We want our country back. We would like our Republican Party back. And having said that, conservatism, you know, Lincoln Republicanism is alive and well in the state of Maine. And if you're in denial, you're in denial at your own expense.
So if somebody wanted to help you out, whether it's signatures or contributions or time, volunteer, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, there are several ways. If you're really pissed off, and you know, and I apologize for that language, but you can tell where I'm at, you can call my cell number at 207-323-0855. I'm on Facebook, my personal page, along with my political page, you know, because I don't have anything to hide, and that would be under Blaine Richardson for Congress 2012 on Facebook, and then on the internet webpage, you go to www.richardsonforcongress2012.com. And you know, we're starting fundraising, but we're going to do this as conservatively as we can. Otherwise, I'd just be as bad as the rest of the people. What I'm looking for in the end, I can be your hammer, but I need all of you to put your hand on the handle so we can get down there and beat our drum and let our voice be heard. Because I'm here to tell you, as Maine goes, so goes the nation. And we have really been, I believe, misserved by some of the people we have. We have very iconic people that could set the tone in Congress, that could set the agenda in the Senate, yet there's no leadership. There's no leadership. It's a consensus vote. And it's time that America hears the state of Maine, and we assert ourselves, and we go get our country back.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
I hope to speak to you again during the campaign season. So this is Michelle saying goodbye for now. I hope you stick around for the next interview, where we talk to someone who talks about the issues that interest us north of Bangor.